Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
How many were here for Pastor Bob? Was he great or what? He is amazing. All three of his messages are online. You can listen to all three if you want to. If you weren't here, I encourage you, listen. Amen? But there's one thing that he said that was, well, there's so many things that he said. It's just so good. But one thing that he said, he was preaching, and I just know that he didn't realize how powerful what he said, but what he said lined up with something that God said to us as a church at the beginning of last year. And that was the word that God gave me regarding being on the wall. How many remember that? Nehemiah? How many are still on your wall? How many need to get on your wall? You don't have to raise your hand, but how many? Let's go. Anyway, he said something, and when he said it, I'll tell you what, just my spirit man on the inside just jumped up, and it was just like the Lord saying, I told you. Amen. And that was, the Lord spoke to us last year and said that God would do more in the next 5 years than we have seen in the last 15 years. How many remember that? Amen. I don't know, but I believe that. Right. How many heard Pastor Bob say, he said, what would take some people 5 years to do, you'll do in 5 months. Yeah. Well, you know, it wasn't a coincidence he used five. Amen. Yeah. That was just the Lord. And when he said that, I tell you, my spirit man just rose up and was like, see, I told you. Yeah. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you, grab hold of that word. If you're saying, I have no idea what you're talking about, come see me after service. Come see anybody on the front row after service. God said, you know, we are doing a great work. Yes. Amen. We're doing a great work. You're doing a great work. Wherever you are on your job, if you're sharing the light of Jesus, if you're speaking truth, if you're reminding people that God is good, that God has a plan for their life, that God's not a taker, God's a giver, that God loves them, God cares about them. If you're speaking that, you are doing a great work. And you know what? The enemy will always try to get you to come down from what God has called you to do. He will distract you. He will pull you down. He'll try to pull you down. He cannot pull you down. But he can distract you and trick you and get you into doing stuff. And over in Nehemiah chapter 6, I'm not going to preach that message to you. You get that. It's online. You can listen to it or ask somebody up here. When Nehemiah was doing what God had called him to do, there were lots of people around, Sanballat, all those guys, and they were distracting him, and they were trying to get him to come down from building the wall, and they were lying about him. They were saying, well, you know, this person said this, and this person said that, and Nehemiah turned to them, even though they just kept at it. How many have had the enemy just use somebody to just keep at you? Anybody? But you know what? Nehemiah turned to them, and he said this. He said, I cannot come down from here. I am doing a great work. We can't stop what God has called us to do. God has called us to make an impact in the city of Lake Worth and these surrounding areas. God has called us to be a light in a dark place. God has called us to speak the truth. How many know somebody that they think they know God, but they don't know the God of the Bible? They know a God of religion. They know a God of tradition. They know a God of rumor. They know a God of Aunt Gladys, but they do not know the God of the Bible. Amen. And that's our job. That's why we're here, to speak the truth about who God is and how God works. Amen? And so, you know, we've got to just make sure that we stay on that wall. And, you know, I know a lot of people, myself included, we are pushing and we are believing God and we are doing what God called us to do. And we're saying, you know, there's some things on the inside of us. And many of you in here have said, when, God, when? Well, I think when will be sooner than we think. Amen? When Pastor Bob said that, I was like, oh, I got, that is mine. That is mine. That's all I could do to stay in my seat. You know what? God's going to move things quickly, because if you turn on the news, Pastor Scott and I were talking about it yesterday. If you turn on the news, you know that God needs to move quickly. Yeah. Amen? There's just a whole lot of crazy going on in there. There's a whole lot of crazy. And so I just encourage you, get on that wall. You say, what does that mean? Get doing what God told you to do. Amen. Stop doing what God told you not to do. Amen. Amen. Usually that's the hard part. Stop doing what God's word specifically says don't do. Because every time you fall in that trap, you're walking right down from your wall and you're having a convo with Sanballat. And he's telling you all the reasons why you're never going to finish what God's called you to do. You just need to look at him and say, I cannot come down from here. I am doing a great work. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you're doing a great work. All right. And so with that in mind, I want to kick some people in the pants today. You ready? All right, here we go. Because, you know, sometimes in life we can feel stuck. And you know what? A lot of times what's hindering our faith, you know how faith works. You know Mark 11, 23 and 24. You know the whole chapter of Hebrews 11. You know the story about the fig tree. You know these things. But yet there is a part of us sometimes that still doesn't think anything is going to change. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's still, no matter the truth that we have, there is a part of us that says, you know what, nothing's going to change. And here's how we know that we act like that sometimes, or we have that mindset. We don't really see ourselves having what God has promised you you'll have. You don't see yourself, when you close your eyes, everybody close your eyes just for a second. Close your eyes. You say, what does my future look like, Lord? Where am I going to be in 5 years, in 5 months? And if you're still stuck in the same place, you need to get unstuck. You need to get it unstuck. You need to get a vision for being where God says you're going to be. You need to get a vision for things changing in your life. You need to get a vision of you changing, of the words that come out of your mouth being different, the thoughts that run through your mind being different, the hope that you have for your future being different, that it all lines up with God's word. So open your eyes here. I don't know who is here, but I know there's some people in here tonight and you're a little stuck. And so I'm gonna let's do some things that have changed that. I'm all about change. I love change. I say if you work with me, you know I love change. I always say change is a good thing. It's an uncomfortable thing, but you know what? This is a word I hate. I hate this word. I do not want this word in my life, although it sneaks in. It sneaks in, and that is maintain. I don't want to maintain. I don't want to be in the same place. I don't want to be in the same place spiritually today that I was last month. I want to be closer to God. I want to know God better. I want to have a greater understanding of who he is and what he's done and what he wants to do. I want to have a greater understanding and walk in the knowledge of how small the enemy is. Amen? I want to walk in that. I want that to grow. I do not want to maintain anything in my life. I want it all to be getting better. Because the Bible says that I'm called to go and you're called to go from glory to glory. But it's easy to get stuck in some stuff and be like, well, you know, this is just how it is. But we never say what? It is what it is. Somebody put that on Facebook today. They don't go to my church or I would have hammered them. Don't ever say that. It is what we say it is. Right. Amen. It is what the word says it is. So how many are ready to get unstuck? I'm just going to give you a few things. You know, I like numbers. I like to count. So number one, you need to trust in the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. It's amazing to me how many days we can go through without trusting and turning to and relying on and opening the door for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Isn't it? The Holy Spirit is here to work in your life. Jesus told the disciples it was better for them that he go because then the comforter would come. The paraclete is the Greek word. And you know, it means the one called alongside to help. You have help in this world. I have help in this world. Help to balance my checkbook. Help to find my keys. Help to get where I need to go. Help to remember what I need to remember. Help to not do what I know I'm not supposed to do. I have help in my life. You have help in your life. We have the Holy Spirit in our life. But you know what? It's like, you ever ignored someone before? Anybody, now probably nobody here because you're all so spiritual because you're here on Wednesday night. Amen. But anybody ever got really mad at somebody and is like, I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you. I'm not listening to you. You are dead to me. Right? Now you probably don't say that, but sometimes we act that way, right? And then you're done. You're not listening. You're not saying, hey, can you give me a hand? You're not anything. It's like they're not even there, right? You know what? Unfortunately, we can be the same way with the Holy Spirit. We need to rely on His help. We need to remember He's here to help. We need to realize, and this is we got to change some stuff going on up here, because religion and the world will try to tell you that your small thing and your big thing and your medium thing or anything you got going on, God's not interested in. And that's a lie. Jesus said, it's better for you that I go. The Holy Spirit is here. He's here to help. He's here to be with us. He's here to comfort us. He's here to teach us. He's here to reveal truth to us. He's here. He's called alongside to help me. And so we've got to remember through our day to say, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're helping me. Help me, Holy Spirit. Show me. You know, one of the best things you could do is go through the New Testament and look at all the things, the job requirement, the job description of the Holy Ghost. Why He's here. He's here for us. He's here to help. How many need some help? Look at your neighbor and say, you need some help. You need some help, amen? Turn over to Romans chapter 8. You need some help. We all need some help. Romans chapter 8. I need help finding Romans. Here we go. It's Romans chapter 8, verse number 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit, capitalized S, so who is that? The Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's why it's so important that you do not let the enemy talk you out of praying in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Because there is just too much you don't know.
That's right. Amen.
There's too much you don't know. Your life, the life that God has for you, is so big you can't even pray it because it's so big. Amen?
Amen.
That's what Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20 says. It says that His blessing for you is beyond what your mind can even think. And so if the only way that you pray is according to your knowledge and what you think, you are limiting yourself to the greatness of God in your life. God wants to do stuff that you can't even figure out. He wants to do stuff that's so much bigger than you, and He wants to use people that you don't even know. He wants to promote you on your job in ways that you will never, ever be able to figure out how it happened. But God is just that much bigger. And so the Bible says, listen, you don't know. You don't know all the ways that you need prayer. You know, sometimes I look at it, I'm like, Lord, I don't know all the ways that I am goofed up. I don't know all the ways I'm goofed up. Because people, no matter how goofed up they are, you notice they always think they're right. Is that not the truth? No matter how crazy somebody is, they think they're right. But you know what? We need to look in the mirror and say, that's me too. Because it might just be the only way you've ever done it. It might be the only way you've ever seen it. It might be the only way you've ever heard it. And so you think that's the right way. But God's got His way.
Amen.
Amen? And His way is way better than our way. And so number one way to get you unstuck from thinking nothing's happening, nothing's going to move, this is too big for God, there's no way. How many of you be honest and just be honest with yourself and ask yourself if you looked at a problem this week and either thought it or said it, there's no way. Anybody? No way. Well, you know what? The Holy Ghost will help you with that. The Holy Ghost will help you with that because as you pray in the Spirit, you get, the Bible says you, I wasn't planning on talking so much about praying in the Spirit, but I believe this is a good thing. As you pray in the Spirit, and some of you are like, that's weird, it is weird, let's just be honest. You know, that, I hate people that act like sin is no fun and praying in the Holy Ghost is not weird. Quit lying. Quit lying, because sin is fun. Yes. Even the Bible says sin is fun. And praying in the Holy Ghost is a little strange. It does not make sense to your head. It will never make sense to your head. It's not supposed to. It's not a head thing. It's a spirit thing.
Amen. Yeah.
It's a spirit thing. It's not a head thing. And so, but the Bible says when we pray in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says we undergird ourselves. We strengthen ourselves. Amen? And if you're not doing that, you're missing out on something that God has designed to help you pray bigger than you are. And to strengthen you in ways you don't need know you need strengthened. Everybody's got a blind spot. Everybody. Everybody's got stuff in your life you don't see. You got a weakness you don't see. You got something going on you don't see. And maybe everybody around you sees it. How many know somebody you're thinking, man, if you would just do this and this, you'd straighten out a little bit. Anybody know anybody like that? Well, we all do. You know what? That's the Holy Ghost. He knows you inside and out. And as you pray, the Bible says that he prays in ways that you're not aware. And as you pray in the Spirit, no matter how weird it sounds, you just got to remind yourself, you know what I'm doing? I don't need to be smarter. Amen? I mean, we don't need to be smarter, seriously. How many right now you could pick up your phone and you could find out anything you needed to know? Anything. You could get your phone out, unless you got a dumb phone, it don't do anything. If you got a smartphone, you could pull it out and we could ask a question and you could Google it or you could whatever it and you would have the answer. There is so much knowledge available, but sometimes you just have to understand that's not what I need. What I need is an inside out spirit strengthening power of God changing revelation in my life.
Yes.
That's what I need. Amen. You know how you get those? One way is praying in the Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
One way is praying in the Spirit. And so, you know, we are a Spirit-filled church. And if you're here and you say, well, I'm new. I don't know much about that. Well, you're in the right place. You're in the right place. Don't stay where you're at because you don't know how to get anywhere else.
Amen.
Ask somebody for directions. Ask somebody for directions. Come up here. Let us talk with you. We'll give you a book. Usually I'll just tell people, listen, read this book. Come back, see me after you read the book, and we'll talk then. I was raised in a Baptist church where if you prayed in tongues, you were straight from the pit of hell. Or you were on your way there, one of the two. So if you think you're uncomfortable with it, I understand. Because I was raised thinking it wasn't for now, it wasn't for this time, it wasn't for me, and it was of the devil. Seriously. But I thank God I didn't stay that way. I thank God I got God's word on it. I got his truth on it. It didn't stick with what my relatives were telling me. Amen?
Amen.
Just because somebody's related to you doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just because you're related to somebody doesn't mean you should listen to everything they say. For goodness sake, somebody say amen, right? That's just good preaching right there. And so, you know, I just encourage you, get God's word on it. Don't stay without one of the greatest blessings God has given us, praying in the Spirit. You know, no matter what your situation, the Holy Spirit knows how to bring about God's will for your life as you pray and worship him. Isn't that what the scripture says? Let's go up there. It says, verse number 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to, say it with me, the will of God. You know, you say, man, I need to know the will of God for my life. Pray in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Pray in the Spirit. Because I don't want my mom's will. I don't want my dad's will. I don't want what's comfortable. I want God's will.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's so much bigger than you can imagine. Your head can't wrap around it. That's why God gave you the gift of praying in the Holy Ghost. So, all right, let's keep going. Number two thing we got to do. We're trying to get unstuck here. Number one, trust in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Trust that praying in the Spirit will do a big work in your life. It will. It will. It will. Number two is remember, think about, have this thought go through your head. See, we need to change what's going on in our head Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday before it's going to change anything else. You can't sit here and say amen, 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 ooh, that's so good, on a Wednesday night, and then on Thursday, you're thinking something totally different. We need to get what we're saying here on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, we need to get that running through your head the rest of the week. Instead of those defeated, I'm weak, I can't make it, nothing's going to work, nothing's going to change, blah, 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 we need to change what's going through your head. The Bible talks about that in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. It says, therefore, renew your mind. You've got to change the way you think. You can hear a great message on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning or watch Joyce Meyer on TV. You can hear a great message, and then the next day, that is just totally gone, and you're right back where you were. I don't know about you, but I've done that lots of times. Let's grab these messages. Let's grab these truths, and let's get them going in our life. Like the little train, you know? Like, hey, I'm thinking different. And when you start thinking different, you start acting different. You start acting different, you start living different. You start living different, you start having different. You start being different. You start walking in the plan of God for your life, and suddenly you're looking back and saying, man, I've come a long way.
Amen.
I've come a long way. Isn't that a whole lot better than saying, man, I'm in the same place. You're still annoying me. I'm still aggravating and still have no victory. I don't want to be that way, do you? And so we got to change. We got to say, I'm going to grab a hold of this truth, and I'm going to realize this isn't just a Sunday, Wednesday truth. This is a life truth.
Amen.
And I need this life truth to start going through my head. And as I make a decision to change the way I think, I'm going to start getting rid of stinking thinking, and I'm going to have that godly thinking going through my head. I'll tell you what, godly thinking is what changes you. That's what changes you. You get it from here in your spirit, man, and it's got to go up. It's got to go up to your head. It's not enough to just have it all here. Some people are just spiritual. You know, they know all the scriptures. They know all the scriptures. They come to every service. But then when trouble starts, they sound like somebody's never even been to church before. Because they've never changed the way they think. We got to change the way that we think. And so we're gonna make some changes here. And so number one thing, I got to remind myself, when things are not looking good, I got to say, you know what? Prayer changes stuff.
Amen.
Amen. Prayer changes things. The Holy Spirit is at work in my life. He is helping me. The third person of the Godhead, He is God. He's not a sidekick. He's not a distant cousin. He is God. He's helping me. He's teaching me. He's strengthening me. He's helping me. Say that with me. Say, He's helping me. He's helping me. Let's start thinking through all this week. The Holy Spirit's helping me this week. Prayer is changing things. But in order for prayer to change things, you have to pray. Because prayer does change things. But you got to pray first, right? And so turn over to Matthew 21, verse number 22. Let's get unstuck. A lot of people know how faith works, but yet they're still stuck because their thinking hasn't changed. Matthew 21. Verse number 22. Matthew 21, verse number 22. This is Jesus talking. And he says this. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? That's a pretty powerful statement. And so you're sitting here and immediately many of us in here say, well, you know, I've prayed for some stuff and it hasn't happened. Well, let's remember we're going to change what's going on up here. Put your hands on your head like this. So I'm going to change what's going on in here.
Change.
All right. God didn't miss it. Somewhere you missed it.
Yes.
Amen. That's one of the best lessons anybody could ever learn, is when stuff doesn't work out, God doesn't drop the ball, God doesn't renege on his word, God doesn't back down, God doesn't let us down. Somewhere along the line, I've made a mistake. I've made a mistake. And you know, sometimes we can get over into what the Bible calls foolishness. Foolishness or presumption. Foolishness is stepping out into things that you know you don't believe. Because it says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing. Say that with me. Believing. Faith grows. Faith grows. And so when we say foolishness, it's like if we went out, I remember at school one time, there was a guy, and he was foolish. He was foolish. Foolish is the opposite of wise. And he went out, and one of the Hagans had just gotten a brand new SUV. And he went out there, and in front of a bunch of people, he laid hands on it. And he said, I claim this SUV in the name of Jesus. It's mine. Well, he didn't get it. Because it wasn't his, first of all. It was theirs. But here's the thing. He didn't have the faith to do that. He didn't believe it. Because if he really believed it, he would have sat there and waited for the keys. He didn't believe it. See, sometimes, and I see some confused looks on some faces. Sometimes you're stepping out into an area of faith you're not ready for. You don't have enough faith for it. And I'm not trying to be doom and gloom. The Bible says that every man is given a measure of faith. But we have to develop that faith. We have to learn how faith works. We have to get his word in us where we know how faith works. Faith is not just running around flapping your jaws. That's not faith. If that was it, we'd all be driving new SUVs. Yeah. Amen? Right? But it says believing. Believing. You got to be honest with yourself and say, where's my faith? Is my faith at $5 or $50? What can you believe God will do? And you got to be honest. God can do all the way up to the numbers we can't even count. But we've got to start where we're at. And that's why so many people step out in faith, but they fail, and then they blame it on God. But the truth of the matter is, as you're talking to them, you find out they didn't believe it. They were just doing it because somebody said to do it. And that's not faith. Man, when you are in faith, it doesn't matter what anybody says. You know that whatever you ask for is yours. Amen. I remember I was teaching a Bible college class one time. And it was up at another college I was teaching at. And so these people, they didn't know me, and I didn't know them, so I could kind of mess with them a little bit. And so I came in, and I was teaching on faith for finances. And I came in the class, and I began to preach a great message about how it was not God to bless you, and God did not want you to have new nice things, and God didn't want you to have anything more than what you absolutely needed. And to ask for anything more was selfish. And I preached it. And before long, these faith-talking, faith-filled, Holy Ghost people, the more I talked, at first they were like, but the more I talked, suddenly they were like this. And I was like, aha, I just shook your faith. What I'm preaching is not from the Bible. God wants you to have a full life, a blessed life. God wants you to have more than you can even imagine. God is big enough to feed the poor and get you a nice car. Amen? Yeah. He's big enough. But you got to have faith. But I shook them. I shook them so hard. And suddenly they're agreeing with me. And you know what I told them? I said, listen, if I can shake you that much in 15 minutes, the enemy is going to shake whatever God has promised you right off you. Because when it gets hard and it gets difficult and it's not showing up and it doesn't seem like it's going to work, you're going to start saying, well, maybe it wasn't God. Maybe it wasn't God for that. Maybe God doesn't meet all my needs. Maybe God doesn't. You're going to start saying stuff like that. And when you start saying stuff like that, that is a big indicator that you are missing it when it says believing. You got to believe it. You got to strengthen your faith so that nobody can shake it. So that no TV preacher preaching something different is going to shake off you what the Word of God has put in you. Because you know what? You can turn on the TV, you can walk into another church, and you can hear stuff that is contrary to the Word of God. But it is spoken so well that if you're not careful, you'll start wavering in what you believe. So no matter who's talking it, you take it back to the Word. Because this is what never changes. People change. People change. You know, there was a young man, and he wasn't from our church. I promise you, my right-handed Jesus was not from our church. Because if I say that, so you guys aren't like, I wonder who that was, you know? I promise you, it wasn't from our church. Because that's what I would do. I'd be like, all right, now let me see what's that. No, I promise you, my right hand to the Lord, not from our church. You do not know him. You do not know him. I do know other people. I do. But anyway, he started this years ago, and he was saying, you know what? The Lord has spoken to me, and I believe that I'm supposed to go to Rhema. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know? Are you sure? Oh, yes. Yes. I have prayed. I know. And so, okay. Then that very same young man goes out to Rhema. Let me tell you something. Rhema's hard. It's difficult. He goes out there and, you know, some things happen, this and this happened. You know what he says? I think I missed it. And then people around him were saying, yeah, you probably missed it. You probably should have done this. You should have done that. Should have done this and that. And so I was there. I don't really even know this person. So I figured, I said, well, you're either missing it now or you missed it then. One time, you missed it. I said, you need to ask God which time it is. Because if God told you to go there, doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble. Doesn't mean that it's not going to be all rosy. Doesn't mean that everything's going to work out. But you know, and that's why it's so important that you have faith. So then no matter what happens, you can say, you know what, I don't care what walks through that door. I don't care what you say. I don't care what happens. I know that I have heard from God. You cannot shake me. You need that. That's called believing. And I said, so you either missed it then or you missed it now and you need to repent and you need to buck up and you need to say, you know what? I need to get my act together and I need to know that somewhere along the line I missed it because I need to stay here because God called me here. You either missed it when God told you to go or you missed it now by saying God didn't tell you to go. And I said, which is it? If you can't hear from God, you don't need to be moving.
Amen.
Amen? If you can't hear from God, you don't need to move yet. Hear from God and know. Because things, you know, especially like in marriage, feel like, oh, God told us to get married. I'm like, you better know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, because there's going to be a day when you wake up and you look at that person, you're like, oh, my gosh. Wow. Because marriage is harder than you can imagine. How many married people say that's true? It's just the truth. Watch it now. See him waving. See him like, I give up, right? You need to know. Because there's going to be a time where somebody says, well, maybe you missed it. No, you need to know what God said. You need to know what God said about your finances. You need to know what God said about your health. You need to know what God said about your future. You need to know so that you have faith to believe. Because faith works. But don't be stepping out in something you're not ready to step out in. Just be real. If you're at $5, then believe God with everything you've got for that $5. And know that you know, come hell or high water, no matter anybody says, that $5 is yours and it's coming. Amen? That's what faith is. If you're at 500, be there. But be where you believe. Because if you're not, you're going to set yourself up for a failure. Now, it doesn't mean your head's got to have it all together. It's an inside knowing that doesn't budge. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It is an inside, that's what faith is. Faith, the definition of faith is a firm persuasion. It is an, in my definition, it is an inside knowing that doesn't budge no matter what happens. No matter what the doctor says, you say, I'm healed. And you believe it. You believe it. That's faith. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. One mistake that a lot of people make in their faith life is you want to have faith without hearing the word. You want to have faith with only hearing. But the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing. And if you study that out, you get all smart about it, you realize that that hearing never ends. It's hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. You can never, ever hear the word of God enough. You need to just constantly feed on it. And so sometimes people want to step out in faith, but they haven't taken the time to hear the word. The Bible clearly says faith comes by hearing and hearing. So before you step out in some stuff, make sure you're ready. Because God wants us to use our faith. But you gotta get it. You gotta get it, you gotta know how it works. Anybody getting anything tonight?
Yeah.
All right. Let's praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. All things work. All, you know what? Prayer changes stuff. Amen. And the Bible says, Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Say believing with me.
Believing.
What do you really believe God will do? What do you really believe God will do? And you know what? God wants to do so much more than we even understand or grasp, but where are you? Doesn't matter where your buddy is, doesn't matter where this person is, matters where you are. You say, I want to grow, I want to grow. Well, then hear the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. It amazes me, and I've talked about this before, that in our culture today, it's very different from when we were growing up in faith. It's different. And it's not just here in our church, I talk to other pastors, it's everywhere. Is that, you know, there needs to be, you gotta kick yourself in the butt and say, you know what? I need more than what I'm getting on Sunday and Wednesday. You need more than what you're getting from me. You don't eat twice a week, do you? How many ate yesterday? You ate physical food. Let's see if we need to pray for anybody. Anybody need, you need groceries or something? We'll help you. But you ate yesterday, right? And you're gonna eat tomorrow? How many are gonna eat tomorrow? Yeah? How many are gonna eat on Friday? How many are gonna eat on Saturday? Yeah, we're going to eat. Yeah. See, you physically eat every day. And you know what? To really grow and to do and to be all that God's called you to do and to be and to walk in the visions that God has given you, you got to eat spiritually every day. Because how many, if you only ate twice a week, how many would you be as strong as you are? No. Would you be as alert as you are? No, probably not. And see, the same thing is true spiritually. Sometimes we're not alert spiritually, we're not strong spiritually, we're not growing spiritually because we're just snacking spiritually. We're just snacking. And we got to make a decision. You know what? I need to grow. I got to eat. I got to eat. I got to eat the word. And so there was a time, and when the faith move not started, but like back in the 80s and the early 90s, there was, you know, you would have a CD or actually a cassette. You'd have a cassette, and it'd be like, man, you got to hear this. I remember people were passing around Jesse Duplantis tapes, and everybody thought he was black because nobody had ever seen him before. They're like, you got to hear this guy. You got to hear this black preacher. He is amazing. You got to hear this guy. And then when we all saw him, we're like, that's not the guy. But then as soon as you start talking, it's like, yeah, that's the guy. But we just, you know, it's like you took him to work. You're like, you got to listen to this tape. Or you just, or a book, you know, I was like, you gotta read this book. We fed ourselves and we grew. We grew spiritually. And you know what? And this is the truth. Now listen to me. It's not enough to just watch Joyce on TV. She's great. But you need a diet that is full of faith. Amen. You need that. You need that. And so I encourage you, don't stay where you are. God has too much for you. You say, where do I get those? We have them right here. And we got the same books back there we've had for months. And you know, when I walk by there all the time thinking, man, nobody's eaten. Nobody's eaten. And then they wonder why things aren't growing. You got to eat to grow. You got to eat to grow. And so we need that move back where it was, hey, have you read this? Really be honest with yourself. When's the last time you read a book? Not Reader's Digest, not a magazine, not a fiction, not a John Grisham, not some other crazy stuff. Won't even go there. None of that. Read a book that would feed you. That's a good question, isn't it? Good question. But we all want to grow. We all want to do what God's called us to do. Well, listen, it requires some effort. And so I encourage you. I told you I was going to kick you in the pants. I told you. I told you when we started. You could have left. You're still here. It's your fault. Hey, man, nobody locked the door. You could have left. But here's the thing. I want all of us to walk in the things God has for us. But it takes faith. We got to move those $5 faiths. We got to move them up to $50. We got to move those $50 faith. We got to move you up to $500 faith. And those $500 faith, we got to move you up to $5,000 faith. Amen. Let's grow. Amen. Let's grow. Because God's called you to something. God's called you to something. He's called you to quit borrowing and start lending. Amen. Amen. Not lending, giving. Amen. Giving. Because listen, don't ever loan anybody money. Just give it. That's just a recipe for disaster. If you can't sow it, don't loan it. That's just words of wisdom right there. That's free. It's free advice. All right. Here, last one. We're going to do this last one, then we're going to go. You got to believe this. Faith finds a way. Turn over to Mark chapter 2. We're going to close right here. How many just got something, man? You've been saying, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to work. Blah, blah, blah. You needed a kick in the pants tonight. You got to trust in the ministry of the Holy Ghost. You got to remember the prayer changes stuff. And you got to know that faith finds a way. It's not your job to find the way. Jesus is the way maker. Because you know, there's a lot of things we can look at and say, man, there's just no way. Anybody have anything in your life where just like, there's just no way? I'll tell you, we got some stuff. There's just no way. Naturally speaking, on our own, there is no way this is going to change. That's when you need a big old but. But God. Amen. But God. Faith finds a way. All right, here we go. Mark chapter 2. We're going to look at verse number 1. And it says, again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic man who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. See, they started thinking about it in their head, what had happened, not realizing that a move of God had just happened. Sometimes it looks like, just like these guys, there was no way. There's no way to get through. There's no way to get in. But when you know that you know that you know that God has promised you something, you're always looking for how it's going to happen. And here's the difference. If they would have just said, hey, you know what, there's no way, and went home, how many would know that's not faith? Faith is always expecting the door to open. Amen. Always. Faith always expects the door to open. Faith, you know, every time I get the mail, every time, you want me to get something? Mail it to me. old-fashioned snail mail, because I never don't get the mail. You know why? Because I say all the time, I thank you, Lord, there are checks in the mail. Checks in the mail. And so I always get the mail. And every day, I'm expecting, because you know what? It only takes one check to change everything. Is that not the truth? But if you never go and check the mail, you're not really believing anything is coming. It's called expectancy, believing. And so I always check the mail. And every single time I check the mail, I say, Lord, I thank you. There's checks in the mail. All it takes is one check. Change everything. I'm believing for that check. I know it's coming. I know it's coming. I know it's coming. So I always check the mail. And I check it. And sometimes, you know what? Most of the time, I'll be honest with you. No check. But just because there's no check doesn't mean that I haven't asked for a check, I'm not believing for a check, I'm not expecting a check, and a check is not on the way.
Amen.
Because one day, I'm going to walk out there, and there's going to be a check in the mail that's going to make me stop in my tracks.
Amen.
I know it. I know it. That's called believing. But see, if you're just sitting and saying, there's nothing in the mail. There's never anything in the mail. Who cares about the mail? Or whatever it is in your life. See, you got to expect that faith's going to make a way. It's not up to you to figure. Expect. How many of you walked into your job today expecting a promotion? You know what? You need to walk in every day expecting a promotion. If you're believing for one. How many walked into your job today expecting a raise? Well, did you ask for one? If you asked for one, if you asked the Lord, Lord, I just ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would move on the hearts of the people that I work for, that you would move on their hearts to increase my pay. I work as unto the Lord. I am a good employee, and I believe that I am receiving a raise. That raise may come in a year. That raise may come in 5 months, but that raise is coming. Amen. And every day that you walk in, faith is saying, where's my raise?
Amen.
Amen. Where's my raise? That's faith. It doesn't take faith to thank God for something you have in your hand. It takes faith to thank God for the stuff that's on the way.
Amen.
And know that it's yours, no matter what happens. No matter what crazy person's trying to tell you that God doesn't come through, that God doesn't work, that it's never going to happen. I'll tell you what, I've walked too many times to that mailbox and a check has been in the mail.
Yes.
You cannot shake me. I have walked too many times when we have been down to the wire. Is this not the truth, staff? We have been down to the wire, and we have said, we just thank God that every penny comes in. We don't care how it comes in. I got faith for checks in the mail. I'm old-fashioned, you know? And you know what? I have walked out there, and boom, there it is. From people, I mean, we don't even know. We got a check in the mail from another church.
Yeah.
Churches don't give churches money. You just don't do that. It don't happen. It just doesn't happen. And we're believing God, we needed $5,000, and we just said, Lord, we just thank you, we got $5,000, we call it in, it's ours in Jesus' name. And then from then on, we're like, Lord, thank you, that $5,000 is ours. And I walk to the mailbox, Lord, thank you, check's in the mail. What I do, open up the mail, is a check from a church, another church, sent us $5,000. We didn't call them and say, hey, man, we really need some money, man. We don't do that. We didn't do that, but you know what? Across the state, it came from across the state. A pastor was sitting at his desk, and the Holy Ghost said, hey, send BBC $5,000. And he was like, all right. Wrote us a check for $5,000. And that's happened more than one time. One time, the lady, his secretary called and said, hey, I'm so sorry. I accidentally sent you a check. We hadn't gotten any check. They said, I accidentally sent you a check for $500. I misunderstood. I was supposed to be $5,000. And we're just like, seriously? Praise the Lord.
Yes.
We'd be happy with the $500, but we'll take the $5,000. We said, just send us another one for $4,500. We're good. We're good. Praise the Lord. But you know what? Pastor sitting at his desk, the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, hey, send BBC $5,000. See, I would never in 1 million years thought that that person would send us $5,000. It's not your way. It's not your job to figure out how it's going to happen. It's your job to expect that it is happening. That it's happening. That God is at work for you. God is at work for you. Amen? That's faith. And you say, well, I don't have any of that. You have it because the Bible says everybody's got it. We just got to develop it. You just got to develop it. And so keep coming. And let's start changing our expectancy. How many will commit to me? We're going to close right here. How many will commit that from now until next Wednesday, every morning when you wake up, you will say, write this down, say, I thank you. The Holy Spirit is working in my life today. He's helping me. The Holy Spirit is helping me. And then all through the day to say, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're helping me. You're helping me. You're helping me. You're helping me. Oh, man, I need help. You need help. And you can't get better help than the Holy Ghost. You cannot get better help than the Holy Ghost. But you'll be saying, Lord, I thank you. Holy Ghost, you're helping me. Faith is making a way in my life. I don't need to figure it out. I just got to expect it. I'm expecting that door to open. I'm expecting that raise. I'm expecting whatever it is, wherever you're at. Let's just change what we're thinking. Instead of walking into the job saying, I can't believe I got to work again. This is the worst job in the entire world. This is going to be the worst day ever. How many know somebody, you work with somebody like that? Is that not the worst? Nobody wants to work with you. Listen, nobody wants to work with you. Let's walk in different and say, you know what? This is going to be, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it. Everything I set my hand to is blessed. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm empowered to, that's what blessed means. It means empowered to prosper. I am empowered to prosper here today. If you're a waitress or a server, start calling in those big tips. I thank you, Lord, that I've got big tips today. That people are moved to give me money. Amen? If you're a salesperson, start saying, I thank you that I make sales today, that I am anointed by God, that He fills my mouth with the right words to say, that I speak to the right people, that I make sales today in Jesus' name. Isn't that a whole lot better than what you've been saying? Yep. You know what? Faith works. But we got to work it. We got to work it. Let's pray together.